Welcome to the Punk Rock MBA podcast.
Really quickly, before we get into this episode, I wanted to mention my Patreon. Patrons get all of the podcasts a week early. I do giveaways, I do some other stuff, but most importantly, if you want me to review your music or artwork or anything else, Patreon is the way to do that. Every month, I do a call for submissions. All you need to do if you want me to review something is just post it in the comments of that post. Then I will review it live on Twitch for the hundreds of people that tune into every stream and post it on Patreon for everyone to check out. All you need to do is just join at the $10 and up level. Stay tuned for that post and you are good to go. So if that sounds cool to you and you want me to review your music, artwork, or anything else, hit the link in the show notes for this episode. And thank you very much to everyone who supports over on Patreon. Hello, everybody. Today's episode is a bonus from the Family Cast, where he had me on to talk about, I don't know, we talked about some food stuff, we talked about some music stuff, but the part that I really, really want you to pay attention to is all the way at the very end, maybe the last, I don't know, 10 minutes or something like that, 20 minutes, something like that. So even if you just skip to the very end and listen to that, you know, the thing I am most passionate about is self-improvement and specifically learning to control and manage your own psychology. That has been by far the biggest struggle for me in my entire life, and something that I continue to work on every single day. And we talk about that at the very end. So if that sounds interesting to you, or you just want to hear me talk about why I don't care about the taste of food, well, then you will like this episode. And also make sure you check out his show. There's a link to that in the show notes of this episode, and enjoy.
Testing, checking. Yes. Let's go.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between all that. I'm sitting here with Mr. Finn McKenty. And where are you at this fine day, sir?
A little bit outside Seattle.
A little bit outside Seattle. Nice. My brother lives up there, too. Love it up there. Beautiful, beautiful. I'm here in San Diego, so same time zone. Thanks for doing this. Welcome to the Family Cast. Food and music is life, yes. And although I know you said you're not a food person, you are definitely covered in music, at least behind yourself and everything.
I mean,
like that.
I do consume food, so you know, he eats food, that common ground.
He drinks it, and definitely talks a lot about the music. And best known for probably what would you call yourself? Music commentary, music.
Yeah, I
opinion?
Think that's a good way to put it.
Music opinions and all that kind of stuff. And lo and behold, it turns out one of my sous chefs is from Cincinnati, so he had a couple of funny, fun questions for you later on.
Oh, perfect. I'm not from Cincinnati, but I did live there for a
while. You did some, yeah. You did time.
And, yes, I did. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Did time, and you're also kind of wearing Cincinnati colors right now.
True.
But, yeah, so just by default or whatever. But anyways, who is Finn? Where did you get started, and why music commentary?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll give you the short answer of that.
Sure.
I grew up in the Seattle area, you know, going first band I got into was like Suicidal Tendencies back in 1990. I saw them on MTV, mm-hmm. and I was like, I don't know what this is, but it's fucking cool. I'm in. Let's yeah. do this.
Yeah.
Then it was all downhill from there. Yeah, mostly spent my career working in design and marketing. So that's sort of like my my real job. And as far as, you know, why, well, I got started making zines back in 93 or something like that.
Heck yeah.
Cause you know, that's what you did back then. Nobody was writing about the bands that I wanted to hear about. So I was like, well, I guess I'll do it. So I did that. And I sold a few thousand of those through the mail by the time I was out of high school, which in a lot of ways is actually harder than YouTube. Cause you know, if you think about like, how do you even get people to find out about this thing? It was kind
how
of
did you?
Maximum Rock and Roll was the big thing. I would get it reviewed in Maximum Rock and Roll for anybody who is under the age of 40 or so. That was kind of the definitive, you know, it was like the TikTok of our day, kind of the place where you found out about new music.
Yeah, for sure.
So they would review it anytime that would happen. I would get a bunch of orders. I would do trades, that kind of thing. So you know, just learning at an early age, kind of like, how do you be where the attention is? And then I started doing blogs after that, and blogs sort of ran their course. And I said, well, I guess YouTube is where people are now, so I'm going to do that. And here I am.
How long have you been doing the YouTube thing?
I started it in September of 2017, so a little bit over 5 years now.
Nice. Okay. So not too long, and you've obviously got at least two channels that I know of, and they're all, they both do get a lot of hits and views and comments. But yeah, I mean, that's funny. Was it, must have been institutionalized, the video you saw on MTV, Suicidal?
No, it was when, so they were banned from being, from playing LA for like 5 years or something because of, like, you know, gang violence and stuff at their shows, all those Suicidals and stuff. And in 1990, it was their first hometown show in several years. And so MTV News covered that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They played the parking lot of like Tower Records or something. And they did a video for like War Inside My Head that like a re-recorded version of it. So it was that.
They're wild. I love it. Yeah. They're definitely inspiring. So you must be a fellow Gen Xer then.
Yes.
Maybe like right at the beginning cusps of it. But I like the fact that you, and at least in most of your videos I've seen, you keep this flyer background behind you. I feel like sometimes, you know, the backgrounds we choose tell people who we are in a certain sense, you know, but you always have that one. Are they always the same flyers, by the way?
Changed it like once over the course of the years, but I don't know. I'm lazy. Too much work to change.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how hard that would be or not, but it's definitely you. And then you talk a lot about Undertow band. Yeah. Is it why then? Were they the only, like, kind of, make anyone feel bad, but were they the bigger significant band in the Pacific Northwest?
As far as like hardcore, that kind of hardcore goes, yes. They were really like our only national band, you know, at that time. There was also Botch, but they weren't really popular until, you know, a few years later. But as far as, you know, like, I don't know if Undertow is a straight edge band or not. I think they were. But as far as that kind of stuff goes, they were the only one. There were some other great bands from Seattle. For example, I love The Accused, and Forced Entry, and some other bands that, I don't know, people wouldn't have heard of unless they're from the area, but like Saber and Dumped and stuff like that. But Undertow was sort of our, you know, flagship hardcore band.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Okay. So they were they meaningful to you in that aspect to push, keep you in the hardcore, you know, up in that area, or it was just the band? I don't know. Cause I wasn't from up there. So I had the privilege of being around a lot more down here. But like, I feel like in your speakings, you say the name comes up a lot, you know.
They were just kind of, yeah, they were. I mean, I did like them, of course, but they were sort of the only game in town. I was actually more into a lot of bands from LA and the Bay Area, more like bands like Spaz and Capitalist Casualties and Man is the Bastard and stuff like that. I was really into that No Comment, all that kind of thing. But that just didn't exist at all in the Seattle area.
Right. So the bands that speak to your, like, kind of teen angst kind of stuff, like high energy.
Yeah. I mean, stuff. I guess,
I don't know.
I'm not really that type of person, but I get what you mean. Yeah.
But I guess you went into your career, or your schooling at least took you into business and marketing, MBA, and, you know, what's the trajectory from being a hardcore kid in the Pacific Northwest to going to Cincinnati for design?
University of Cincinnati actually has one of the best design programs in the country.
Nice.
So that's why I went there.
Nice, nice. Okay. And what do you design? Is it graphic design or?
Well, I haven't been a designer in over 10 years.
Oh, okay.
But the last design, so there's kind of two big things I did. I worked at an industrial design agency in the like mid to late 2000s, mostly working on Procter & Gamble stuff. For example, I think that most of the Swiffer products that are in stores now, I'm pretty sure that we had a hand in designing those, in engineering some of that as well. Bunch of stuff for Febreze, did some stuff for like Tide and Bounce, and just, you know, P&G is an amazing company that has, I mean, it just really invented consumer marketing as we know it. So it was really amazing to get the chance to work with them so much. Then after that, I was a graphic designer at Abercrombie & Fitch. I worked on Hollister girls t-shirts. So, you know, okay. If anybody went to high school from, you know, 2009 to 2012, there's a very good chance I designed some of their shirts or their sister's shirts. And then I moved into a marketing role there where I spent a lot of time over in Asia managing like the production of the shopping bags. If you remember the ones with the hot guy on it, you know, the shirtless hunk, the Abercrombie bags.
So I
spent a lot of time in like China, Hong Kong, Indonesia, printing shopping bags over there.
Literally making bags. Like, I remember they had a full designer on the bag, but like, it's crazy. We don't think about those little things in InDesign or anything, like for even for records or CDs or anything like that. Somebody like it could be all the way overseas designing this, what seemingly looks like just a bag or whatever, but like obviously
yeah, the shopping bag. I mean, I know people listening to this don't want to hear me talk about this shit, so I'll keep it short, but
sure,
the shopping bag was their bag was iconic. It was a big deal back then, so it was worth the investment.
Good. But then you're like, hey, what did you say? I'm getting tired of this. I want to start talking about people's music
So after that, I worked for a company called Creative Live, which is an online education platform for creative professionals, primarily photographers. That was kind of our biggest market. And it was like a Silicon Valley startup kind of thing. I think we raised like $65 million. And when I say we, I mean the CEO, not me.
Oh, okay.
Although I was part of the fundraising process, which was really cool to, you know, I cannot take credit for any of it, but I helped prepare a lot of the decks and stuff like that. So it was very cool to be part of the process. You know, if anyone knows about investing, like our lead investors were like Greylock and Social Capital, which is like top of the food chain shit.
That's right.
Back in 2013. So it was amazing to be a part of that process. So they originally kind of started doing photography stuff, and I came in 2013, and they had the idea of doing music stuff, and I was like, well, I know a lot of people in music, I can help you with that.
Nice.
So I helped them spin up a music channel there where we brought on a lot of people. Like, we taught people how to record and mix music, so we brought on a bunch of people like Kurt from Converge and Between the Buried Me, Periphery, Seosin, I don't know, a bunch of other people I can't even think of, but yeah, a lot of cool stuff. And then I quit that in 2017, which is when I became a partner in the company that I work for now, which is called URM Academy. People, if you're into the world of mixing, you might know our product Nail the Mix, where we teach people how to record and mix music. We've had everybody in kind of the world of rock and metal on, like Fall Out Boy, Bring Me the Horizon, Gojira, Meshuggah, Suicide Silence. I don't know. There's like, we've had probably like almost 100 people on by now. Lots of that stuff. And then I started doing YouTube around the same time. And YouTube has always been, to me, obviously it's what people know me for because it's, you know, a public facing thing, but YouTube has always been sort of my side hustle to me. Even though I make more money now from it than my day job, but,
yeah,
it's always been a side hustle to me because my actual passion is like building businesses. It just so happens that people will also listen to me talk about music, which is wild to me.
Hey, you found what sticks, right? You're like, look, mom and dad, all I want is a rad collection of hats, a Shure SM7B, and a great wall behind me.
It's not even a real wall. It's just a piece of cardboard with some printed out flyers pasted to it.
Nice. I love it. So that's, check that off the list. You did those things.
I'm a fake.
You know, I mean, some of the commenters seem, you know, some of your commenters are just real buttheads, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't like me, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, the videos, and I think that you do a good job in the videos that you say, like, look, this is a disclaimer. This is my opinion. I'm one guy just having these opinions.
I stopped putting my opinions in videos because nobody wants it. So I just summarize Wikipedia for them now for the most part.
Yeah, more like a short documentary style or whatever.
Yep. Keep my opinions out of it. They don't care. So,
It's probably like some, like, you know, 16-year-old saying that or anything.
No, unfortunately, it's 35-year-olds.
Oh, you found out? Okay.
The average age of my viewers, YouTube tells you this information.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, yeah.
You know, 30, 35. So it's 30-year-olds with beards that have very strong opinions about dorky music.
What's the best Page 99 record?
Exactly. Like, Christ, man, like, shouldn't you be doing literally anything else with your life right now than fucking berating some stranger on the internet about fucking Page 99. I guarantee you that everybody that was in Page 99 or Seisha or any of those bands wants to throw themselves on a fucking sword when they see people fucking nerding out about them like this.
They should have
like, dude, we haven't been a band in 20 years. Let it go, you fucking pathetic motherfucker.
Man, music fans are hardcore, man. I mean, it's the same with like anyway, anything from food to religion to politics or, you know, yes, these underground bands, it's like they get really like traumatized if you say anything against like their favorite lyric or.
Yeah, it's honestly sad. I mean, the people wrap their identity around like consumption, basically, you know, whether it's music or comic books or food or whatever, you know, I get it. If I was to, you know, attack, if you're a chef and I was to attack your food or your restaurant and you get defensive about that, I get it.
But the like fans. That,
yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But if you're just a dude who eats there, it's like, dude, it's not your restaurant, man. Like, if you like it, that's cool. But it's,
yeah,
it's not your music and it's not your restaurant. And it's really unhealthy to kind of wrap your identity around this thing such that you get like angry enough to write multi-paragraph essays, you know, on the internet about it. It's not healthy.
Sure. Exactly. I
like
made
what
that
you
mistake.
Like. But, yeah, you know, it's not a crusade.
I made the mistake with like sports fans, like saying like, oh, you're on the team because they put their name on the back of the jersey.
Right, right, right.
Oh, yeah. You play for the hockey team and, you know, never skated. I skated before, or, you know, just being a dork nerd punk myself, just saying stuff like that to sports people. They, you know, they don't like that. They basically,
I'm going to start doing that with bands, though. Be like, yeah, we're hitting the road this summer. Really looking forward to it. You know, we think this is going to be our best tour yet. We're really excited to see, to show everyone this is the best version of our lineup yet that's been out there. So yeah, we'll see you on the road this summer.
And it's you.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, you're in Fall Out Boy? Well, no, I mean, you know.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, yeah, just a big fan. I mean, I don't know them. They don't know that I exist. But, you know, I think of myself as an honorary member of the band.
Sure. Then you get to like comment how you want.
Exactly. That's
well,
my move.
What's your favorite Cincinnati chili restaurant?
Listen, have you ever had Cincinnati chili?
Yeah, yeah. I made it for when the Bengals were in the Super Bowl and did not fly. It did not go over well.
Well, it's not chili. It's Greek spaghetti sauce.
It's like chocolatey, cinnamony, weird. I mean, to be honest, it looks like garbage. But
it's literally Greek spaghetti sauce. That's what it is. Some Greek guy is. Came over there in like the 40s or the 50s or something. And I guess he just branded it as chili because people didn't understand what it was. Or I'm not quite sure how he ended up calling it chili, but it's literally Greek spaghetti sauce. And I know this because one of my best friends from Cincinnati is Greek. And I was like, what the fuck is up with your fucking rancid chili? And he was like, dude, it's not chili. It's Greek spaghetti sauce. He explained it all to me.
Here's the history. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Disclaimer.
The people from Cincinnati, the Midwest. Okay. Here's my formula. There is an inverse relationship between how proud people are to be from somewhere and the quality of life in that place. Like how good the place actually is,
right, yeah,
is the opposite of how proud people are to be from there. For example.
Yeah. Give me an example.
Talk to people from Seattle, ask them if they like Seattle. They'll just start bitching about it.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's a pretty great place. LA, yeah, same thing. They'll bitch about it endlessly. I don't know if San Diego's a great place to live, but I bet people there bitch about it a lot. But if you ask people, yeah, what's that?
They've been known to, yeah. Oh man, the traffic's so bad, and, you know, but it's like
expensive and rah rah rah. And like, well, yeah, why are you still here? Well,
but look at the city. Look
I would
at
never
the city.
Leave.
Yeah. America's
well,
finest
you ask
city.
People from like Philadelphia or Cincinnati or like, you know, Milwaukee or something, and they'll just go on and on about how great Philadelphia and Cincinnati are, and they're not great.
Again, honest opinions, because
are facts. These are facts.
Oh, okay, we're spitting facts. Got it.
And like, the people from Cincinnati, they really like their Cincinnati stuff, like La Rosa's Pizza, Grater's Ice Cream, Skyline Chili. And listen, the really sad people are the Gold Star people. I don't know if you know this, but there's two rival chili chains in Cincinnati. There's Gold Star and there's Skyline. Skyline is the bigger one.
Everyone
you know,
knows
there's
Skyline.
The Gold Star,
yeah,
people that swear by it.
Is that like Voodoo Donuts versus Blue Star Donuts?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Got
exactly.
It. Okay.
I think they're both gross, personally.
Both are terrible. So what do you, I know you, that you work with, what's Faction Food? Is that the right one? A pre-made meal kit kind of thing?
Factor,
sorry.
Yes.
Are you into healthy eating or?
Yes.
Are you,
yeah,
are
I just,
you always have been?
What's that?
Have you always been like, is that kind of coming out of like mm-hmm. vegan, vegetarian, straight edge kind of lifestyle or?
Yeah, I haven't been vegan for a long time, but I mean, I guess, you know, I've never really cared that much about the taste of food. So for me, it's just about like macronutrients.
Excuse me?
It's not, I know I'm weird. You know, my psychiatrist.
Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Like you eat to live?
Yeah, it's just not important to me what like nutritional content is much more important to me than the taste. So like I would rather eat something that tastes bad but has good nutritional content than vice versa.
So like MREs and like, you know, like astronaut food kind of stuff, like
like for example powder. I just like I eat a salad for lunch every day and I have and I'll eat the same thing for, I've eaten the same thing for breakfast for probably 3 years or something.
What is it, oatmeal?
An egg sandwich.
Egg sandwich. I mean, those are delicious. They can be.
They are. They happen to be. And they also happen to have good nutritional content.
Right now
well.
You're doing the thing like you're like the guy from Philadelphia who talks about the city is it's trash, but it like he loves it or vice versa.
Yeah, but
like,
but even if it tastes
I don't
bad,
like the taste of food, but this sandwich is fucking
it
delicious.
Happens to be it happens to be good. Okay. When I can find something that tastes good and has good nutritional content, that's great. But if I have to make the trade-off, you know, I would choose.
So we're not gonna see the Finn McKenty brand of Skyline Chili soon. We won't see that.
Listen, if they pay me enough, I'm happy to say it's the best thing in the world.
You whore. So what do you do with Factor? They send you stuff so you can promote it, or are you actually like we're already eating it before that?
I actually genuinely do think it's a good product.
Okay.
I didn't use it before they paid me to talk about it, but I actually think it's great.
Good. One of my other friends was just talking about it. I was like, hey, I just heard somebody talking about that. So now two people have told me about it. So the word's really good. Getting out there.
You know, it's like 450 calories. There's different options they have, but the one that I get is called Calorie Smart, which is usually around 450 calories with quite a bit of protein, and it tastes good. I'm a fan.
Are you an overall like healthy person, like physically, mentally, spiritually, all that?
I try to be.
Yeah. Cause it seems like that if you're doing stuff like that versus I'm sponsored by the beer company or whatever, you know, it's more of a healthier choice. Plus, you know, Gen Xers are at a certain age now where our joints need different things.
I still identify as 28 years old. So
I'm a minor at heart
for yourself.
Yeah, no, I'm still going to as many hardcore shows as I can, but I just stay sore longer. Yeah. But do you drink coffee and caffeine and all that kind of stuff or
very little? Like I maybe have like 30 milligrams of caffeine a day.
Oh, so like a cup of tea?
I'm not sure. Probably.
Yeah, that's about because a cup of coffee is like four times that.
Yeah,
but that's good. That's probably better for you actually to not be drinking the coffee because. But how do you stay like focused and alert and with all the stuff that it seems like because it seems like you're probably making what two or three videos at least a day. I don't know how that works, but they're
I
like
have editors.
It seems like a lot of work.
That. What's up?
Oh, you got a team. It seems like there's a lot of work going into this.
It is a lot of work, yeah. But that's just how my brain works. I'm just built that way. I don't have a problem staying focused or on task or whatever. So it's just, honestly, I'm just...
Lucky.
It's a blessing. Well, I mean, it's a blessing and a curse because
for sure.
I also have a hard time relaxing.
That was going to get to that. What's the opposite of that? The downturn of all this like focus and energy and work and stuff that you're doing. Plus, you know, that's just the YouTube stuff with all the other stuff you're doing and family life. And I don't know how close you are with your like, you know, mom and dad and siblings, cousins, whatever, but like all this stuff factors into lives usually that, how do we find rest when we're trying to stay hustling, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the challenge. And for me, I'm the opposite of most people you know, they sort of grind through their work and then they get a chance to like chill out on the weekend or go on vacation or something. And it's like, I can relax and recharge when it's like, for example, we just went and visited my cousins in the Bay Area for 4 days last week. And it was like, I was really happy to see them and like, I enjoyed it and stuff, but it's definitely like
not
stressful
relaxing.
For me. To, I have to grit my teeth to get through like vacations and stuff like that, which if it was just me, I would never take vacations. But you know, I'm married and I understand that I'm a crazy person and my wife isn't that way. And I respect that. And like, I don't want to, you know, it's important. So, for me to like eat bad food or like go on vacation or something like that is actually stressful.
When you go on vacation, is there somebody in the group that's like, here's the agenda. We're going to wake up early and go on these hikes. And
I just do whatever my wife wants.
Yeah. But when we go, my wife is like, plan some stuff. And I'm like, I thought vacation was like hammocks and chilling and, you know, maybe a Mai Tai or surfing or whatever. But like, we're like adventure, adventure, adventure. I'm like,
okay. I like to have a balance. Yeah. You know, I don't personally, exactly. Like whatever my wife wants, I'm on board with, but mm-hmm. You know, I want to have some stuff to do, but like, I'm not one of these people who wants to like overschedule a vacation. Cause that sort of defeats the point to me, but you know, whatever she wants to do, I'm on board.
You know what I do to relax these days at home? I listen to hardcore music. Put headphones on, drown everyone else out, and then turn off the main speakers and just listen to like the last one on the table's Battery. And I'm like, yeah, buddy, yeah. You know, and it's relaxing.
I just watch Real Housewives with my wife.
Oh, so relaxing. So not annoying at all.
No, I love it. I love reality.
It's genuinely. Okay, yeah. Well, Real Housewives. Maybe I'll have to check that out. I don't know if that would relax me or not, but... recommendations heard. So what else is new in the world of Finn McKenty aside from the YouTube videos? I know that you are I'm going to look for on your next video which flyers you've changed. I'm going to see you know which hat's going on, but yeah, what's going on?
I mean, I don't have a lot of exciting things in my life or anything. I'm very like I'm into routine, you know. I get up in the morning and I work out and then I do my work and then we watch some Real Housewives and then repeat.
Is your workout related to Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
So I've had to take a little bit of a pause on that because the do you know what a gi is?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We moved like a year ago and the only place I can train here only does gi and it fucks up my hands too much. Like I've broken both of my pinkies and it fucks up your knuckles, like the grips. I used to do no gi, and basically with gi, you grip with these fingers, like your ring and pinky finger, you grip with that.
The weakest fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that fucks up my knuckles. No gi, you grip with these fingers or sort of just posting, and that doesn't fuck up my hands. So, if I can train no gi again, then, I will get back into it, but it was fucking up my hands too much and breaking my fingers and stuff. And I would like my hands to keep working.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Is there just not enough studios up there, you mean?
We moved to a smaller city and there's not as many options.
Got it. Okay, so the Finn McKenty studio opening soon.
Exactly.
Yeah. But purple belt though, that's pretty big accomplishment.
I'm proud of it. It's hard. I mean, I'm a shitty purple belt. You know, there's a big range there.
What does that mean? Like you just barely made it?
There's a big range there. There's purple belts that are monsters that'll like fuck you up. You know, and then there's purple belts where you're like, yeah, they just gave you this because you show up for a while. I would be in the second category.
Oh, got it. Okay. You did the stuff. You did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay, but I'm old and, you know, it's just like, I'm old and I'm not that big and it does make it. I guess I'm making excuses, but that really does make a difference. You know, you get in there with some 24-year-old that's 20 pounds bigger and like,
yeah,
that, I know what you that's mean. Real.
You know, sure. Exactly.
You'll feel it.
You don't want to be the best person in the room. Kind of thing, you know.
I mean, I'd like to be, but
I guess you kind of have to be if you're competing. But
yeah,
dang. So when is you're not going to pick it back up until you find that right style, or
yeah, I mean,
do something else.
I can't fuck up my hands. It's just I can't, you know.
But in that, is there training in that you can do in between that's not related to that exact grip style?
With jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, because there are other things like. I don't know, just the grappling. I don't know. I don't really know if there's stuff you can
do in
between.
Not really.
That.
I mean, the gi, you can't ignore. Like, if you're training in a gi, you can't ignore it because the grips are a huge part of the game. And if you can't grip, it is really just going to make things really hard.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, we'll pause on that.
Unfortunately, it bumps me out. I love it.
Have you done any of your kind of documentary research style videos on BJJ at all?
No. My audience prefers me to focus on music.
What are you doing?
Yeah, they want me to focus on older guitar music, so that's what I stick to.
Okay, how about this?
Obviously there's a lot of other things in the world that I'm interested in, but
sure,
you know, with as a creator, people really want you to stick to one thing.
Yeah. Why in the hardcore and punk scene, how come there's so many musicians who are into BJJ, do you think?
It's a good question. I mean, it's
have you
definitely
noticed that?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm the old hardcore guy with a bunch of shitty tattoos that does jujitsu and listens to podcasts. Check, 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 check.
Yeah. They're all there.
Yeah. I guess, you know, if you get into hardcore, probably there's probably something a little bit wrong with your brain that like seeks out that kind of like aggressive interaction with other humans.
The kung fu mosh pit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same kind of energy, I guess.
But it seems like it was really like the music scene really latched onto the BJJ scene all, mm-hmm. as well, and vice versa. So
yep.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool thing, you know, like I guess maybe like the professional wrestling doing the one guy who does punk music got really popular with, you know, in cross genre kind of scenes and stuff. So, but I did notice that a lot of the, you know, maybe even retired hardcore people have, mm-hmm. have done really, really embraced, you know, martial arts and stuff. So that's really kind of cool, I guess, to, I guess just they need an outlet, but
it's jujitsu or being a barber or a chef. Those
hey.
Are your three options. Pick one.
Distilling. What if you do all of it? But
and beard is definitely required. If you're gonna do all three, you definitely need a beard.
Beard is easy to handle for me, because I can't keep changing my tattoos from barber tattoos to chef tattoos to whatever. So
you get the black flag, everything you want black one, and you're covered both ways.
That's true with the hedge trimmer is like, unless you're Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Yeah. So I don't know, but then you're also like a family man.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's good. That's good. Big proud moments for you in that. Is anyone in your family, were they entrepreneurs or musical or anything like that?
No,
or
my dad was a corrections officer, and my mom, you know, basically never really, she worked at a plant nursery. She didn't really have like a serious career.
Hey, that can be a serious career if she wanted it to be, right?
Yeah, she didn't want it.
But she didn't want it. She didn't. And that was all Seattle area?
Mm-hmm.
Or okay. Corrections officer as in like working for the federal penitentiaries and stuff like that?
State.
Or state, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got a lot of family that does that here in California too. It's a job that you have to be kind of committed to, I guess, because...
Yep. My dad was in the Navy and then he was a corrections officer.
So why didn't you want to do that, Finn?
You know, and I never even considered it. To be mm-hmm. honest,
yeah.
It's not like I was like opposed. It just wasn't really, I never thought about the military or corrections. Just, it never came up.
Okay.
I mean, corrections, it's not a great job. It doesn't pay that well. You work a lot of corrections. People are kind of shit bags and losers and stuff, to be honest with you. A lot mm-hmm. of them are great people too, but there's a lot of kind of losers there. Which is unfortunate because, I mean, it's a tough job and it doesn't really pay that well. And you got to deal with inmates all day, which fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to pay me a lot more to take that job. The military would maybe be a better option, but it just didn't happen.
There's so many jobs in the, especially here in San Diego, that are like military based or connected. Like I got a lot of chef friends who work for them also, mm-hmm. like just, you know, stuff. So like there's so many random things that you can think of that are probably also you could do with military stuff and then say, hey, I work for the military or whatever.
I think probably half government. My family or so. My grandpa was in the Air Force. One of my cousins was in the Army. My brother-in-law is currently in the Army. My father-in-law was in the Army, the Vietnamese Army, for like 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably someone else I'm forgetting. So like pretty much like half of our family has been in the military at one point or another.
That's great. Yeah, I guess... And when I think about it, there's definitely a lot of people that were involved with it. So that's, it's rad. We got to remember that sometimes, but not me, just a little punk rock chef over here. I got a question from Josh in Toronto for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Toronto?
I have not. I've only been to Vancouver.
That's not the question, but.
Shout out to Vancouver. Great place.
It's so rad up there. I love it. When I go visit.
Expensive as shit, but great place.
Is it?
The real estate is insane.
Oh, real estate. Okay. Because I usually just visit there when we're up and visiting up in like Bellingham or anything like that.
Oh, I was born in Bellingham. Great place.
Shout out. Dude.
Love Bellingham.
Just real quick. We went up there last June and there's like 50 breweries within like a bike ride from the place we're staying.
It got bougie.
It really did. I was like, but the weather was like so perfect. There was a music festival happening and we watched it from a brewery into like, it was like, this is
looking
insane.
Over another brewery.
Oh yeah, looking over like six breweries because the brewery is like up on a hill and it was right next to it. Yeah. So we were up there and just like, hey, we're staying with people. They're like, here, take our car. You can go visit all the breweries. I was like, dude, I can only hit like one or two. You know, I can only have like one or, you know, I would rather see all the record stores.
Speed run.
Just here, take my money. I'm going to be back and buy something later. But
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode.
Anyways, Josh from Toronto says, when did Baroness become a defining mark of how punk something is?
I would say Baroness is a defining mark of how much facial hair you have.
Yeah.
You see, my gift is stereotyping.
Okay, yes. Somebody's got to do it. That was you had that ready. It's like Josh and you talked earlier.
It's my gift. I was put on this planet to stereotype.
Thank you, Finn. Define what? It was a follow up question to it. It was that question, and then was it Discord ebullition?
Baroness is I like to call. Actually, I didn't come up with this. I forget who it was. So shout out to whoever came up with it. Door guy metal. Meaning that there's the door guy at every local venue.
Yeah,
that's like our age, you know, with the beard and the you know, denim jacket with a, you know, Baroness back patch on it or something like that. And you're like, who's that guy? And you're like, oh, he was in Engine Kid or something like that. You know, that's door guy metal.
You're not wrong about that. You're not wrong about that. Yeah. Who's the most misunderstood butt rock band?
The most Creed, for sure.
They're having a day.
Creed is the most misunderstood butt rock band. I actually read Scott Stapp's. I have a video about them, and that's why I read his autobiography. He's a misunderstood guy. Like, definitely was a douchebag back in the day, as he is the first to admit.
Amen.
You know, he went through a lot of shit as a kid. Like, had kind of an abusive childhood. You know, horrible, awful, physically abusive stepfather and stuff. And you know, not that that makes anybody's behavior okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is what it is. You understand why. And I think he, you know, has done his best to change who he is. And from what I can tell, he has. So shout out to Creed and Scott Stapp.
Shout out to Creed and Scott there. Cause if you look at it, I mean, millions and millions of people found them very interesting, you know, as far as record sales are concerned. Steven from Cincinnati also said Skyline Chili or Gold Star. We covered that. They both suck.
Yes.
Midwest white trash MILFs or mall goth girls?
You know, I you know me. Listen,
you're a goth girl. You're a goth girl kid.
Hell no. Hell no. If you see bangs, run screaming in the opposite direction. Just flee while you still can. Listen, any guy listening to this, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. When you get on the bangs train, there's only one place that train leads. We all know where it goes, to the zone of pain. We all know. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong. Think of all the girls with bangs you have dated and ask yourself how that worked out for you.
I had one that ended amicably, but she ended up dating somebody. She ended up dating someone that same day.
There you go. There you go. So just like in nature, you know, like frogs or insects that are poisonous are brightly colored. You know, if you see a bright yellow frog on a tree, you're like, oh, don't touch that thing. It'll kill you. Bangs are like that, but for women.
This is science, you guys. This is science.
It's just science, my friends. It's just science. You know, what you got to do, the big titty goth GF thing, the recently divorced military MILF is the new big titty goth GF.
They're having a day. They're having a TikTok extravaganza.
The Y2K bimbo. Reject goth girls. Embrace Y2K.
Oh, that's
bimbos.
Okay. So you're talking about like the tall flip flops.
Yes.
And like, yeah, okay.
Juicy couture tracksuit, tramp stamp, and whale tail.
Oh, exactly. That leads me right into my next question. Courage Crew, Cincinnati or Cleveland Straight Edge?
Courage Crew is from, well, they're from Dayton.
Okay. So what have you had any run-ins? Are you part of the Courage Crew?
No, but I am good friends with some of those people. I think they're all, I mean, you know, if I'm sure there are lots of people that have plenty of good reasons to not like members of Courage Crew, but I can only speak, but that you should take that up with them. They have always been awesome to me.
Well put, well put.
And I have nothing but good things to say about Courage Crew personally. If they broke your nose or knocked out some of your teeth, well, you can take it up with them.
They did crowd killing before it was hot.
They did a lot of stuff.
Stand up law abiding citizens, just going to shows with everybody else.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, San Diego hardcore. Who do you know? What do you know? Shea Cafe, Casbah. Have you done any documentary or research on any kind of San Diego scene stuff?
I mean, I don't, when it comes to hardcore, like I don't research it.
Whatever you do for the videos, like how you put the stuff together. Cause, you know, the videos that you put out are well done. And I've seen
I've never done a video about San Diego hardcore because that's a pretty obscure topic that wouldn't get a lot of views.
Yeah, it's not quite as big as Slipknot.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
But it definitely, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'd have to look, but I'm pretty sure I've got some San Diego bands behind me.
Yeah, you've definitely talked a lot about Blink. And
But I mean, I'm talking about the, you know, like Locust, Swing Kids, Struggle, Downcast. I don't know if Downcast is, maybe they're from Santa Barbara, whatever, but
it's all the 3-1-G record stuff.
Yeah, exactly. The 3-1-G Ebullition kind of bands. I've talked about that stuff, you know, here and there quite a bit. And they were it's underrated and underappreciated how influential they were.
Definitely. Started reaching into like the Pacific Northwest, you know, late 90s kind of stuff, but
yeah, I saw the Locust I think on their first tour in 94 or 95 with Manus the Bastard when they still dressed normal. And then I saw them again and they all had beehive hairdos and looked like characters from Metal Gear Solid, and I was like, oh, this is different,
but yet I can't look away. so do you still go to shows? Like, do you go witness shows?
Not very often. I go to like say hi if my friends are in town playing a show. I'll go say hi to them and then, you know, maybe have dinner or something and then leave, because I realize, chilled Chianti. What's that?
A nice chilled Chianti. We're out of here.
Yeah, more like some pizza and a Diet Coke. I realized that I've never really enjoyed watching bands. I think because I'm just not a very emotional, like expressive person. So like whatever part of people's brain that like gets triggered when they watch, like I'm not into spectacles and like it just that part of my brain just it doesn't exist, you know?
In therapy, we call that zero affect.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like
exactly.
Everything is the same. Yeah.
I mean, I get excited about stuff, just not like, you know, I get excited about technical topics and things like that. Not so much like emotion.
That makes sense.
Experience. Like I'm not like roller coasters and fireworks and loud music and all that kind of thing is like kind of just irritating to me.
So adrenaline.
I don't have that part of my brain. Gotcha. I get more excited about, you know, reading a good article about a technical topic or something like that would be more exciting to me.
Food 52's best ways to make an egg sandwich. Done.
Yeah, favorite. That might be a little bit too lightweight for me. For example, I listened to an hour long interview today with a guy talking about essentially like an ad tech expert talking about like some technical things Facebook is doing to overcome like Apple's new like privacy policies and stuff. And that's the kind
and you're
of
like, here we go, baby. Yes.
Yes, exactly. I was like, ooh, I'm going to listen to this while I work out today. I'm looking forward to this one.
Like it's your running montage for the wrestling movie and you're listening to that.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
It's not like
I don't listen to music when I work out. I listen to business podcasts.
Okay.
I never listen to music other than for work.
You should put up some flyers behind you that are like work conferences stuff instead of like the shows. Like
I used to have that actually in some of my old videos.
No way.
I had a little book cart with some like, you know.
Oh yeah. I've seen the ones with books. Some of the books look like they maybe were music related.
I put those on there to make people think that I'm more into music than I actually am.
But it's the business of music and like how to build a CD or like, you know, like.
I don't care about music industry stuff at all, to be honest.
That's good. So you really coming at these commentaries and opinions from an outside approach.
Yes.
And I think people don't recognize or appreciate that sometimes because they think, well, no, because since you have kind of so many views and stuff like that, they might think it's somewhat of an expert opinion, but it's like, you're just saying it as a person.
Yes.
And I honestly think that part of it gets lost on some of the viewers, maybe the ones that say, you know, Slipknot is Jesus or those kind of things. They're like, you know, but you're like, dude, I'm just a guy saying it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly.
How did it catch on?
What's that?
How do you think that caught on? Like with yourself, like you've been doing it 5 years, you got the big awards and stuff like that. Like,
well, I've written about music and stuff for a long time. So I have a good sense of what people care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, but like, no matter how many of the kind of like the hate, quote unquote hater comments or whatever, it's like you keep the videos still keep growing and growing. Right?
Yeah.
So like, what's the niche? What's the secret? You just keep saying, because you said you took your opinion out of it.
Yeah.
So would you say it's more like fact based now or?
Yeah.
And you said you're not like researching it. So it seems like there's got
to
be some.
Well,
still
hardcore, I don't research it because I don't need to.
Yeah.
But I mean,
the ones that you're putting out, like what happened to the Deftones or.
Yeah. You know, something like that. You know, like, yeah, I would need to research that because like, I don't necessarily know all the details about some of the things I talk about.
Have you ever been contacted by like the guy, like, what is it? Ronnie Radke, Tom McDonald, those like kind of like,
I know Ronnie.
Shocker. Yeah. Okay. He's cool, thanks for doing the video. Mm-hmm. You know, really.
Yeah. No,
the
video I made about him, which has 1.5 million views or something. He helped me make that because I hit him up before I made it.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Because
I
care about getting the facts straight, especially with someone like him where there's a lot of things about him that people think that are just false.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much I'm here to defend Ronnie. My larger point with that is that I find it frustrating how much people just repeat, you know, rumors and headlines and shit like that without actually looking into it. For example, a lot of people think that Ronnie killed someone. It's not true. Like he went to prison for a parole violation. He didn't kill anybody.
Right. And then that's good. So some of that stuff is then factual, like documentary based.
Yeah.
Video.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he sent me the court paperwork to, you know, support some of the points I was making in that.
He's making hot new music too.
Yep.
You know, changing stuff around. That's good though. It's good to see that happening because the whole story was pretty wild, pretty insane, you know, overall. But what's the next big like video break you're gonna do? Like a video like kind of documentary stuff. I mean, is there a point where you've like done it all, or like, you know, somebody else has done it or whatever? How does that work?
Well, I just know what bands my audience wants me to talk about, so I go down the list and make a video about them.
Oh, you have a list. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you've done like the, you know, I don't know if you'd ever do something like Metallica's early days or like stuff like that, or if it's like you
sure.
your focus is on like kind of, like I said, like the what happened to or the strange history of.
Yeah. I would prefer to talk about new music, but that's not what my audience wants. So, you know, old guitar music. That's what they like.
Old guitar music. Okay.
Yep.
So yeah, like
they don't like it. Anytime I talk about stuff that's not guitar music, they get upset.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? What's non-guitar music?
Like rap or pop.
Oh, okay. So some stuff with a chugga chugga or like a chingy chingy chingy.
Yeah. Like literally it has to have guitars in it or they don't like it.
But what if it's rap with guitars?
They can be okay with that.
Okay.
The guitars, but it can't have 808s. They don't like 808s at all either.
Dude, 808s rule.
It's just they get very triggered by that and by auto-tune.
What? So like none of the like kind of Warped Tour-y kind of music then, or I don't know, because it sounds
they don't really know what they're talking about. So they just say I get mad when I hear auto-tune, but they don't know that literally every artist in every genre uses pitch correction.
Anyone who ever got signed to a major label has
not even a major, fucking local bands. Literally everybody uses vocal editing is a thing. Every fucking artist in every style of music for the past at least 15 years has used pitch correction. Every single one.
Yeah, you're dropping all the science on the listeners here, like all the secrets.
It's part of making any recording in any genre. Literally nobody is going to release a recording where they are pitchy. You wouldn't do that.
It's the same as a guitarist tuning their strings between each song. It's like you have to make it sound like it's going to sound.
And people edit the fuck out of guitars too. All these metal bands are the fucking fakest. And I know this because we teach people how to record metal. I know every producer that records every metal album. Like, I know all of them. I know, like, we have the multi-tracks. Like, I've seen all of them.
Yeah, they're just taking something like a Pod 6 or something like this big on their backpack. This is their whole rig.
People
nowadays.
Record a lot of these metal bands, not all of them, but a lot of them, like, record riffs, like, two or three notes at a time and comp them together and stuff. It's the fakest shit in the world.
You heard it here,
which is fine. Like, if you like the way it sounds, I'm not here to tell anybody that's wrong. Like, it doesn't matter to me, but I just find it kind of funny that these metal people, you know, are just so dogmatic that they think that, you know, for whatever reason, if it has guitars and drums, it's real music. And if it has 808s with someone actually singing, then it's trash and it's all fake.
Like Owl City or something.
I don't know, Demi Lovato or Katy Perry or Ariana Grande or whatever, which is ironic because, you know, I mean, pop vocalists are the best in the world. That's just a fact.
As far as the singing talent and everything like that. And yeah, especially the ones who write
the songwriting is incredible. Like pop is the most, like objectively, like the most sophisticated genre with the highest level of craft. Like that's just a fact. And like everybody in music would acknowledge that. And country is up there too.
Do you have any thoughts on Taylor Swift?
What about her?
I don't know, because sound like a pop enthusiast. I know she collaborates with people and she writes her own songs.
Well,
for the most part,
I don't know about that. I think she probably buys out their songwriting credits. Would be my guess.
Sure, I'm sure for some of it, yeah. But
which is fine. I have no problem with that. But that's my guess. Like, you know, if you work with Max Martin, he's a songwriter at the end of the day. So like, he's not a mixer. Yeah. So like, why is he involved if he's not helping you write songs?
Ooh,
you
know? Taylor.
I think she seems like kind of a self-absorbed person that, you know, has a hard time kind of, I think it seems to me that she has kind of main character syndrome. You know what I mean? Those sort of people that need to take credit for everything. I'm sure there's plenty of people like that in the food world where it's like, oh, it's gotta be his show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, all right. I mean, yeah, but there's also eight other people who work here that are pretty important too.
Yeah, definitely a level of toxicity in the kitchen industry for sure. They make movies about it. They make movies about it, you know, because it's like,
it seems awful.
The chef can be the rock star or the asshole in the kitchen. But so that's why I really am cognizant of that and try to say, like, I want all my chefs to shine. And,
yeah, exactly. You know, that's what I would do too. Cause that's, I mean, and to me, that's like sort of a very, you know, that's the punk way of doing things because.
Exactly. DIY.
There's a lot of shitty things, a lot of shitty toxic things about punk and hardcore culture. But one thing is for sure that if you get up your own ass, you know, in the punk world, someone's going to take you down a peg, you know? So yeah. it's tough to be that person in the punk world. But Taylor Swift, maybe a controversial opinion. I know a lot of people like her new, like sad girl, Lana Del Rey type shit. I don't, I like the pop stuff. Lover is my favorite Taylor Swift album, which from what I understand is an unpopular choice, but it's my favorite because I think it is the most slick pop thing she has done. And that's what I like.
She does a lot of really good sounding stuff. The controversy is with her is Ryan Adams covering her whole record after he was Me Too'd, but he made an amazing record of hers. That was an interesting time, but because the record's amazing.
It's not for me. I've been aware of him since like the Whiskey Town days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And listen, I don't like the way he treated my girl Mandy Moore.
Nobody do.
Exactly. Hands off Mandy.
Right, leave Ryan? Mandy alone. This is us.
That's right.
That's an amazing show. Amazing show. We're just really exposing ourselves here today.
I've never seen it, but it's great.
But you know that, yeah, it's Mandy Moore. It's, you know, yes. It's gotta be. But then she was also in 47 Meters Down. So what can you say?
I've only seen A Walk to Remember, which is an amazing movie.
How much did you cry?
It's actually, I will never watch it again because it is legitimately too upsetting. Like for real. I'm not joking. It's like, it's too much of a bummer. I will never watch it again. It's terribly,
especially you throw some Switchfoot in there and then like the, you know, everyone's crying. Everyone's dying.
Yep.
Has anyone ever told you that Finn McKenty sounds like a character from a Wes Anderson film?
Nobody has ever said that, but that I agree. That does, that is accurate.
Are you listening, Wes? Take it. Yeah. That's funny. And then do you have a vinyl record collection?
No, I had a couple like shoe boxes of 7 inches that I had held on to since high school. But I moved in 2008 and I left them in the basement and I never went to go get them back.
No.
And
so
somebody hung on to those and they're probably worth a good amount of money.
Wait, where is it? What's the exact coordinates? Dang. So no more,
pin.
Yeah, exactly. We're dropping pins. We're dropping science. We're dropping truth bombs. Well, I don't know. I've taken up enough of your time. Why don't you drop me with a nugget of wisdom? What have you learned through all this shit? Are you still learning stuff? Are you a student for life?
I am a student for life. What I am learning every day, a lesson that I have continued to learn every single day, is learning the most important thing, at least for me. Can only speak for myself, but I think for a lot of people, is to practice daily or hourly or even, you know, I don't know what the word, minutely, put in deliberate, constant effort to control your own state of mind, because if you don't, it will control you. For me,
what does that mean?
For me, I mean, it left unchecked, like if you're listening to this and you're into things like, you know, the weird music that we talk about, or it seems like there's a lot of pretty dysfunctional people in the food world too, from what I understand.
100%. That's why we're doing it.
Same kind of people. Yeah. Why else would you put up with the punishment? Yeah. If you're one of those type of people, you know, if you're one of those type of people, you're left unchecked, your brain is going to go down some dark paths. Normal Agreed. People, I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of normal people. They just go about their day and they get along with people. And, you know, they're just like their brains are good. Our brains are not good. And if you're one of those people, and that's no judgment. I mean, it's just a fact. Yeah. I wish, trust me.
You're not normal.
I'm definitely not. Okay, wish I was.
Abnormal.
I sure wish I was normal. So nothing normal in the world is... I wish more than... being normal, but that's just not the cards I was dealt.
No.
And I think a lot of people listening to this are probably in the same bucket. So, you know, if that's you, then for better or for worse, you need to practice consistent effort to monitor where your brain is taking you and adjust course as necessary. Like for me, I get very, I get frustrated with people much more quickly than I should. Specifically, like if I feel like people aren't catching on to something as quickly as they should, I get irritated and I feel like they're stupid. Yeah. And it's no, I'm not like, I don't think it's cool or funny. It sucks. Like it sucks. Yeah. Like it just so happens that like I was born with a brain that connects the dots faster than almost everybody else.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I get frustrated and annoyed when other people don't pick things up quickly enough for me, which is stupid. Like that's dumb. Yeah. Like they're doing like, there's nothing wrong with that. And I get annoyed with them and like get kind of like, you know, I get a little bit grouchy with people in a way that is not cool. And I don't like it when I catch myself acting that way.
When did you start catching yourself? Like later in life or your whole life?
No, when I was like 14. And if you think I'm bad now, you should have met me when I was a teenager.
Gotcha.
So, and there's lots of other things, but like, that's the specific one for me that I really need to like watch out for. If I feel that kind of like irritation or frustration, like creeping up, mm-hmm. I need to like put it in check and make sure it doesn't get the best of me. Cause I think there's a lot of people, you know, it's basically like practicing conscious emotional regulation. I think most people go out their day or probably even their whole life without ever really even thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Of like monitoring, like how am I acting? How am I thinking? How is that influencing my actions? What's that feedback loop? And do I like that? Do I need to like intervene anywhere?
It's hard to think about yourself sometimes. Not the self-absorbedness, but like thinking seeing what you're doing or how do I feel today? Or
yeah,
how do I sound to this person or whatever?
Exactly.
So you gotta like sometimes remember. It's hard to remember that actually if we're so focused on the hustle and the work and like, the family. It's like
literally take a deep breath. My advice here's if you're wondering how to do it, here's my advice.
How do you do it?
I believe there's a physical component of it that I don't know the science of it, but I'm sure it influences your brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So take a deep breath. And when you let it out, consciously let out the tension in your face, shoulders, and neck, and your hands, because you're probably carrying a lot more tension in those areas than you realize.
Hands, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people. Yeah. And like consciously, like every time you exhale, consciously let out tension in those areas or wherever else. But I think those are the places where I carry tension anyway. And you'll realize like, oh, wow, I was carrying way more tension than I realized. And it will instantly make you feel a little bit more calm.
Okay. Sounds a little bit like the end of a yoga class or like a meditation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's basically, you call it whatever you want, but it's probably like a form of meditation. But, you know, for me, if I do that, I instantly feel a little bit calmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm in control of the beast now. You know, might still be bucking around a little bit, might still be fighting me.
Are you the beast or the beast inside?
Yeah, the bad voice that says be an asshole to people.
One that says put more hot sauce on your egg sandwich. And you're like, no. I like it like
so
this.
That's my advice. And I think, you know, for a lot of people in our world, you know, in hindsight, you think about how many people just fucked up their lives mm-hmm. that you've known because they kind of let their emotions lead them around by the nose. It's a long fucking list of people, right?
Emo. Yeah.
A super long list of people.
Even and myself included. One of them. Even myself included sometimes, right?
Yep.
When I get emo, overly emo and. No, seriously, level. If we're emotions, I mean, if we're talking about what emo is short for, it sucks sometimes too. Cause it's like, oh, I was speaking out of emotion instead of speaking out of like a grounded, you know, physical, mental, spiritual state or whatever, however that means for anybody. But yeah. I mean, like I shouldn't have said that about Slipknot. I shouldn't have said that.
No, but in all seriousness, it's like when you say something, are you married?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, if you ever say something shitty to your wife, you know, like in anger
never,
or whatever.
Never.
Yeah. I mean, I made that mistake a lot when I was younger, and I've been with my wife for 10 years and we have never raised our voices at each other ever, never called each other names or anything like that, because I learned that lesson when I was younger. But
with
anytime
her?
You say something like hurtful to someone that you care about, you know, whether it's like your, you know, business partner or boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, you can say you're sorry and that helps, but it doesn't make it go away, you know, and you
right.
only get so many opportunities to say, I'm sorry before the damage is done. And it's like, I'm done.
Dude, those sound like hardcore lyrics, dog. The
well,
damage
I mean,
is done.
No, but it's, but I mean,
no,
that's
right,
one of
though.
The reasons why I was
oh,
drawn
yeah.
to hardcore is because I think hardcore, ironically, for a bunch of like, you know, infantile men, you know, had a lot more emotional intelligence mm-hmm, than other mm-hmm. genres. You know, it's a lot of very dysfunctional, damaged people who may not always do the right things. But mm-hmm. I mean, at the mm-hmm. end of the day, a lot of hardcore lyrics are about emotional regulation, of like recognizing that there's a part of your, you know, thinking and actions that you don't like. And how do you deal with that?
I mean, for the most part, hopefully the more popular hardcore bands are talking about stuff that's very important to them. Like whether it's straight edge, veganism, animal rights, or trauma from your parents or church or whatever. It's definitely been an outlet for me writing stuff like that. It's very helpful. Like, I mean, I'm just looking at some of the bands back there. I was like, Integrity always sang about this. Converge always sings about this. Unbroken, you know, like there's a reason why we do it, because we don't know how to express ourselves. So we just yell it or whatever, you know?
Right, right. Exactly.
But if you can control it, like by talking to your significant other in a very quiet, calm way, not always quiet, I guess it's okay to raise your voice a little bit, but not always out of anger, more
yeah.
like passion. We call it a heated discussion, a passionate whatever. I mean, my wife's a marital therapist, so like,
oh okay,
I get that thrown at me sometimes, like you know, nobody can make you feel this way or blah blah. I was like, ah, Lisa, come on, you know, I just want to be angry, I just want to be
right.
sad. No, she's
right.
I know, and it sucks because I'm like, I just feel a certain way. I came home and I felt a certain way, and I don't know if anyone made me feel that way or whatever. It's just
right.
how I'm feeling, and I don't know what to do with that. So now I'm going to go to a hardcore show.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, that's, this will be an unpopular if anybody's still listening, this is going to be an unpopular thing for me to say, but I'm going to say,
here's
it anyway.
here's something you're going to hate.
They probably will. I mean, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I have a lot of unpopular opinions. I
what?
Feel very,
no. You?
I know it sucks. I legitimately hate it. Like, I try very hard to only express popular opinions in my videos, and even then I still fuck it up and I still piss people off all the time, because it really sucks. I hate it.
Can't
I
win.
I wish I had more popular opinions.
That's one of your album titles, Finn Can't Win.
But unfortunately, you know, it's just the way my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think the same way as people, you know, in our world. But
same.
I
neurodivergent.
Will say, what's that?
Neurodivergent. That's how our brains work.
Yes, exactly. So like my psychiatrist, I'm like, you know, I might be a little bit autistic. I think I probably am.
That could explain some of your like zero affect, like, you know, you don't care about the taste of food. Like you,
yes,
maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I get like way more irritated than I should by things like lawnmowers, like any kind of like noises.
Lawnmowers, huh?
Yeah. Lawnmowers and leaf blowers, like loud noises, really, really irritate me.
Got it. Yeah.
Much more than they should. I get very like kind of, I feel like I get a little bit of like fight or flight when my routine is disrupted.
Totally.
Like if I can't eat the same thing for breakfast every morning at the same time, like much more like irritated by that than I should.
That explains the food, the diet, like the routine of the
exactly.
diet too. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So
yeah,
the pieces fit together.
Yeah.
And just in general, that it's very hard for me. Like I have to put in a lot of conscious effort to think about how people are going to perceive what I say, because if I just act intuitively, that is not the way. Other
gotcha.
People maybe just go through life, you know, sort of naturally, intuitively.
Yeah.
Being a human, and I can't do that. I have to think a lot about how I'm going to present myself, or it's going to go badly.
So what's the unpopular opinion?
The unpopular opinion is that for people who have these kind of issues, as a lot of people in our world do with, you know, mental health and whatnot, and I know that they'll say that listening to angry, negative music and going to hardcore shows and stuff is their outlet and it helps and stuff. Just be open to the fact that it may not actually be net positive for you.
Right.
I think if we agree that music or anything else can have a positive effect on how you feel, mm-hmm. then you have to also acknowledge that it can have a negative effect on your mm-hmm. well-being and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of that, like wallowing in this kind of like anger and negativity and stuff like that, which is just everywhere in this kind of music. I really question whether that's healthy for a lot of people.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I know there's some music that I have that is not conducive to my bettering my mental health.
Yeah. Like is listening to I Hate God actually making you feel better?
Or
is it just kind of taking you further down the rabbit hole?
Yeah. Finn, you sound like my mom.
Hey, wow.
Shout out.
Turns out that people who lived several decades more than us actually learned a thing or two from it.
No, you're right, though. Like some of the hardcore stuff I have is pretty morbid or depressing. There's uplifting stuff. And
yeah,
you know, if I listen to some of my hip hop albums, they're definitely saying something that's about their life, but it can take you to a depressing state if you're like, you know, if you're really listening to like, oh my gosh, I want to go, you know, fuck the police or like whatever. It's like, I don't
know. Chase a check, never chase a bitch.
Yeah. If it's like, oh, like, okay, let me think about that. Like, yeah. You know, but that's crazy. I think the last, if you ever end up doing a last video of, and whenever you do that, whenever the case may be in 20 years from now, whatever, the strange history of Finn McKenty. And then you have all this stuff in there. And then I don't know, but it seems like you got some, you've done some rad things. It seems like you've done some rad things. You know, I hope that you can see that and appreciate that too. Like for at least what the public sees, I don't know about all the online businesses and stuff like that, but at least the videos.
It's ironic that the things the public cares about are not the things that are important to me. But that's okay. That's another thing that I work on a lot is, you know, I know that if I ever get frustrated that people don't care about the things that I'm actually proud of, you know, I recognize that that's my ego talking. And I try to remind myself, I'm actually grateful that anyone gives a shit about anything I've ever done
right.
or said.
Yeah. I feel the you same. Know? Yeah.
Like it, to me, I'm much more proud of like the businesses I've built than the fact that I made some video about fucking Sum 41 or whatever. But that's just me. And I don't get to decide what other people care about, nor should I want to. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just so practicing gratitude is super important to me. So anytime I start getting like irritated about that, I'm like, no, wait a minute. There's millions of people every month that watch you talk about, you know, things that are important to them. Be grateful for that instead of being annoyed that they don't care about some other thing that you did.
Hmm. If you could like go out on the last thought here is like, what would you want them to be? What would you want like the audience to be like most appreciative of what you've done?
I have tried very hard to get out of that headspace of wanting the audience to be anything other than what they are.
Mm.
Because yeah. I think it is a huge source of, I mean, it's a serenity prayer, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
It is a huge source of frustration for people. Like think about how many people from our world are just so angry because the world isn't the way they want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I get it, but you know, we don't get to decide those things. So, you know, rather than putting energy into thinking about how I wish that the audience was this way or that way, I think practicing acceptance is the better move.
Yeah.
They You're care about right. like I am so different from my audience in almost every way. Like I'm pretty much the opposite of them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that is, you know, a little bit difficult for me. but I'm not going to change them. And there's nothing wrong with them. So I just try to meet them where they are, because what other choice do you really have?
Well, yep, you're right. Like, that's who they are. That's who you are.
Right. They're not going to change me, and I don't want them to try. And and I'm not going to change them, and I'm sure they don't want me to try either.
Strange History of Abercrombie and Fitch would be a fun one too.
I mean, I would be interested in doing that. There was a documentary about Abercrombie that was okay. Oh. It's on Hulu, I think.
You're like, I know the real deal.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I do, because I mean, I was in meetings with the CEO like almost every day for 4 years or whatever. I don't know everything, but I know. I mean, they talked to people who also worked there. They told one side of the story that wasn't wrong, but I think it's just, you know, it was not as nuanced. There's a lot of questions that they should have asked that I don't think they did, and a lot of sort of topic. You know, it's just like, it's just the way it is now.
Give it everyone to them, Finn. Give it to them.
Everyone.
The public wants to know.
People don't want to hear me talk about this too much.
I do.
But
one, make an Abercrombie & Fitch bag that, you know what would really take us to the next level at Mr. Abercrombie, is a bag that has hardcore flyers on it.
Oh, we snuck a lot of hardcore references on shirts and stuff.
I know. I saw some. I was like, what? Is that a is that a lyric?
Yeah, there's like someone we had this other brand called Rule 925 for a while. It was sort of like the super fancy one. And a friend of mine made one that just straight up said DYS Wolfpack on it. And nobody knew what it meant. So like, okay, that sounds cool. Shipping.
And it was just like on a girl's t-shirt or something.
This is a men's shirt, but yeah.
Oh yeah. I love that. Sneaking it in there. And then you do merch and stuff like that too, like pop punk with breakdowns and you know, of course, punk rock MBA and stuff like that too. So everyone can just find you on like finnmckenty.com basically.
Yeah. Or, you just search for my name and you'll find me.
Search for the name.
If you really care about finding me.
If you care.
Why would you? But if you do,
you guys
search for my name.
Yeah,
don't check it out. You'll find me.
You'll be disappointed. He's full of opinions.
You will be disappointed. I guarantee that.
He's got recipes on there for egg sandwiches. I love it. What you gonna do the rest of the day?
I have a podcast to do with your boys in Pierce the Veil in an hour.
Vic, nice. They're gonna be on the Punk Rock NBA podcast.
Yes.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then I'm going to do a podcast with Maud Sun after that. And then I am going to be on Twitch at 4 p.m. Pacific.
Cool. You got a busy schedule. Thanks for taking your time for me today.
Well, I appreciate it.
Tell Pierce the Vic that Josh from Dogwood says hello.
I will do that.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate your time. And I guess we'll chat soon.
Yep. Take care.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, amigos y familia. That is your boy, Finn McKenty, the punk rock MBA. Not the National Basketball Association, no. An M as in Mary, BA, Masters of Business Administration. And now, I know he's using that for different things, but he's the punk rock MBA. So he's got Masters of Business Administration of Punk Rock. I guess I didn't ask about that too much. Can you hear that outside? I got these wild parrots, these crazy, crazy birds. I love them. They look awesome when they fly around. They seem like they're on crack. I'm not gonna put it lightly. They seem like they are birds who have eaten a lot of crack, and they fly around. We got a lot of them in San Diego, but they kind of travel in packs. You never see like one. Or at least I haven't. I've always seen at least like five or six. Right now, there's no less than two dozen, and they yell and they yell and they yell. And it's kind of awesome, but it's also kind of annoying because they, for some reason, they've taken up a residence in the trees right in front of my front door. So they're pooping all over my front walkway. And, I cleaned it off a couple times, and I came out like 10 minutes later, and it was just covered with this like parrot poop. And they're fun. They're fun birds and stuff like that. They I don't know. I can't really describe it. They're so loud, and they just, I don't know if you've ever been to the San Diego Zoo or in the aviary or in any other zoo, but they are just, they're rad birds. They're wild birds. They're technically called wild parrots. And take it from me, parrots just don't understand. You know, they're all over the place with this this noise and this funness, but they go to sleep like around sundown, and they just wake up early in the morning and just decide to, they love pooping. They love pooping and yelling. So they're a little bit like babies, I guess. Anyways, that was my conversation with Finn Nicenti. Make sure you check out all of his stuff online. He's got at least two channels on YouTube, at least two websites that he's very active on, and you can pretty much find him anywhere. Finn Nicenti. That was a fun conversation, and thanks for doing it, Finn. I appreciate that. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to this show. Share it with a friend. Share it with a loved one. Share it with a coworker, a neighbor, maybe someone you don't like so much. I don't know. Share it with somebody. Just share. Sharing is caring. And that's what we're all about here. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being my friend. I'm Chef Josh. This is The Family Cast. Food and music is life. Yes, yes, indeed. This is the Punk Chef Podcast. We do all kinds of fun stuff. So stay tuned. I got another kitchen pairing playlist coming up. I got some more guests in the food industry coming up. And yeah, I did ask Finn after the conversation. I remembered, oh shoot, I wanted to wrap up January with a Rancid conversation because I was doing the series on Rancid, the band Rancid, right? So I asked him, I said, give me three words to describe the band Rancid. And he got back to me and he said, a good band. And I said, fair enough. Okay. I didn't specify adjectives or whatever. So he says Rancid is a good band. And you know what? If he didn't like him, I'm sure he would tell me that too. So thanks, Finn, for liking Rancid just like me. Yeah, that's about it for today. Be sure to stay in touch. You can find me at famcastpod@gmail.com if you want to email me. I check that. Obviously, I check that because I'm emailing other people and stuff like that. So I'll see it. Or you can just find me online, whatever, Instagram.com/TheFamilyCast. And there's a bunch of links right there in the bio. You can find a bunch of other stuff like the YouTube channel. I'll probably put a video of this conversation on there because the video was the video. Yeah. Anyways. Look for that YouTube channel. The links are in the bio on Instagram. If you need to find that, that's linktr.ee/familycast. And yeah, that's about it for today. I'm going to go back to the kitchen. I got some cooking to finish up. I'm working with some recipes with some coffee and some Jameson whiskey right now. So check that out. I'll put videos of that up soon. Thank you everybody for your support thus far. It's been a great January. I look forward to the rest of the year, 2023 or 2023. I don't care what you say. I really don't. But that's about it for me. I'm out of here.
All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn Nicenti, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home, think about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.